Let's get ourselves prepared that the Spirit can open our eyes and our ears in regard to why Christians experience stress, anxiety, depression, and what God has set up that we don't need to. If we have any prayer requests that I'm not aware of, we need to continue to be in prayer for one another and for a multitude of people that I get letters and emails and phone calls from this series of study, and a lot of people to be in prayer for, people. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The Spirit can show us what's going on in the text, i.e. what's going on in our own souls and lives. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. Last night, the study of Revelation, in verse 4, we saw the magnificence of your being and that of your Spirit, that you are sufficient to be God over Lucifer, who declared that he was. And Heavenly Father, as we think about the end of time and that you have all things already taken care of and planned, it's astounding to think that a God that is so omniscient, omnipotent, cares about us each day of our life. That you care that we experience stress, anxiety, and depression, and you do not desire that of any of us. And therefore, Father, even though we live in this world, you have given us a way not to experience stress, anxiety, and depression, no matter what's going on in our life. We pray now, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Remember that we're dealing with Christians. This is for believers only, this study. I have nothing to say to the unbeliever who has experienced stress, anxiety, and depression, except John Hintz is with us tonight from Tucson. So if you hear things on the tape, I've heard it out every now and then. That's what they do at his church. Heckling. And the only thing I have for the unbeliever is the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. But this series is for the believer. And for the believer, especially who experiences stress and depression in their life, either have for a long time or just in experience of things that happen. And I think one of the first things, we covered a lot of things in regard to the flesh nature and things like that, but just coming straight to the concept of stress, anxiety, and depression, one of the most important things that we have seen is that it is a choice. To experience stress, anxiety, depression, it's a choice. And that's the first thing, or one of the first things, you just kind of have to come to the realization. It is not something that is involuntary. It is, as we use for an illustration, you put your hand in a fire and you instinctively pull the hand back. It's instinctive. You don't make a choice. And the same thing is not true in regard to stress, anxiety, and depression. And a lot of people would like to think, I didn't do this. It just happened. No, it did not just happen. It is a choice. Sad, stress, anxiety, depression is the result of the way you think. I think in where we are in the study tonight, putting together last week, this week, and perhaps next week, depending on where we get tonight, with the real heart of why we experience stress, anxiety, and depression. That's some unbelievable things I want to show you tonight in the Bible. But first place we want to go is it's the result of the way you think. And we have seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we have moved in our study of this. We've not moved as fast as I thought, but boy, the things that God is opening our eyes to here, it's well worth the time. This becomes a pertinent passage in understanding stress, anxiety, and depression. We saw in verse 3, that in the flesh, and the preposition is important. It's a prepositional battle in this verse. We walk in the flesh. But we do not war according to the flesh. And we've spent well enough time on that. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Not of our human thinking, human will, human ability. But divinely powerful. And we saw the Greek. And then we went to other passages. This is the giving of the Holy Spirit for the destruction of fortresses. Now, we call you to your attention to the fact, what's our part in this war that we're in? We're in a war. People, your marriage is in a war. Your life is in a war. And sometimes when believers are experiencing stress and depression, well, here I am. And you become very aware of this war. And then we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and we saw that we are to stand still. Who the enemy is and that we stand still. Our part of the war is related to us. Note what he says. We're in this war. We war not according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, ours, our part in all of this, is to destroy these fortresses in our own soul. These strongholds. And even there, we don't have to do it. God is going to do it for us. Now, the broad understanding of these fortresses, and we're going to look at several of them. Some of them may shock you. One of the most powerful strongholds in most Christian souls is the stronghold of false doctrine that they have gained over years in the church. But we'll come to the strongholds in a little bit. But in a general understanding, we are destroying, now the fortresses are now defined, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing, every lofty thing. Now, we are looking at the word speculation. That's what we're looking at. So, if we first of all accept the fact that stress, anxiety, depression is a choice, it's a result of the way we think. That's what the word logismos means, the Greek word for speculation. That word means to reflect. It means to calculate. And we saw last week, here we reflect on what? On your life, your past, maybe when you were a child, the way your parents handled you, others, even in the church, your present circumstances, which seem to cause stress and depression, you calculate it. It's a very important word, and I'll show you this tonight. You calculate it. In other words, you come to the conclusions why all of this is happening to me. Now, remember what we saw. That, a reflection, a calculation, this is what the word logismos, L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S, logismos, is the Greek word for speculations, that precede and determine conduct. That is a choice. It comes from your reflecting, calculating, determining, thinking about it, why this is happening, and this precedes and determines. It precedes and determines why you'll experience stress, anxiety, or depression, or why you will not. How you calculate what's going on in your life, what's happening in your life, as for who you are in Christ, changes everything. That's what we're here to see in dealing with all of this. Okay, so you reflect. You reflect. Speculations, considerations, reflections. What does it mean? You reflect on your life, you're abused as a child, controlled by parents, told you were a loser, even by the preacher, told you were a loser, you're never going to amount to anything, your marriage is a failure, you're told that everything is your fault. Your whole life has been this way, or is this way right now. Are we on? Okay. So you reflect on your life. You reflect on what happened as a child. I was driving out to the airport to pick up John, and just flipping through the radio, and one of the Christian radios was talking about a man who was abused as a child over and over and over. I didn't get in on who did it to him. He became a homosexual and all the things, and they were just reflecting on these things. So there's all these things that are going on in our life as we were children, and we want to blame these things. We reflect on it. We reflect. Yeah, that's why I'm this way, or this is what's happened to me, and I'm just no good. It's my fault, or whatever way we come, we think about it, and this, I deserve this to happen to me. Or you reflect on it, and the things that are happening in your life, or are happening in your life, and it's not my fault, God is against me, people are against me. This is all what this word means. You take in all that's happened, and you start calculating, reflecting, calculating, thinking about it. Well, people, that's how you're going to come out. And that's what I want to show you as we go through this. And reflect on it. This warfare that causes sad in our souls and in our lives, people, is inside our soul, inside our mind. It's a spiritual war. And it's aimed at tearing down who you are in Christ. That's what it is. And the Greek word is, again, logismos. And I want to spend just a little bit longer tonight because I've done some more things and I'm just realizing just how important this word logismos is to us. Now, I want to do some superficial talking with you. So if you're listening to the tape and you're already depressed right now, I want you to think with us a little bit in the power of the Spirit. Let's take some words that are important to what's going on inside of us. First of all, let's look at the word to know. To know. Let's look at the word to learn. And then let's look at to think. Our word. Let's just spend a moment with these things. First of all, to know. To know something involves the possession of information in your mind. To learn involves the acquisition of information, the acquiring of information. But now we come to thinking. That's much different. This involves much more. Thinking involves the process of calculating, putting a value on things. That's why the next description of these strongholds is every lofty thing. We're going to see how this has to do with that value, the place that you place something of importance. It's your reasoning through what one knows and learns or even experiences. And then this is going to lead to decision making. This is the one right here that leads to decision making. This is your decision making right here, is the thought process. Not what you know, not what you learn, but your thought process, how you put it all together. Logismos, the Greek word for speculation, is not just reasoning or thinking. I'm going to go very slow for those of you taking notes and those of you on tapes. It is not just reasoning or thinking. It is thinking or concluding in an absolute form. And by that I mean in a consciousness. You are aware of what's going on. And it'll work its way out of you in your life as action. And that's when we fall apart. Go back to my basic illustration. You get a call that your son or daughter just died on the highway. You go through these things of logismos. And then you have an absolute thought process, a consciousness. You make a conscious decision that works its way out now in action of depression, anxiety, stress, attacking, denying, pulling away. That's what depression is. Whatever it is that we do, it's because of what we're thinking in our soul. Now I want to go to another level. Just to complete this picture for you, go to another level. We know, we learn, we think. This is the decision making. People, this is this word right here that I have on the board, this is what leads us to faith. Am I going, and I'm talking about faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, or faith in the Holy Spirit in life, to faith, to trusting. These words are very important. I wish, if this was not a study on stress, anxiety, and depression, I'd spend a lot of time here on what happens in our whole thought process. But I'm dealing with people who hurt. And I just want to make the main thing here that you and I think about things, we come to decision-making, and in that regard, that's very close to coming to faith. coming into the faith area. To believe, to trust, is related to one's thinking. To believe or to trust is the result of one's thinking. It is the result of one's thinking. The result of it. Many learn the same truth, say the gospel for the unbeliever, gospel for believer. Many know that, and just understanding of knowing in the mind, they can give it back. So many know the same information, learn the same information about the truth of the gospel, but only a few process it in their thought process and making a decision to believe in Jesus Christ or to believe in the Holy Spirit, to believe who you are in Christ. Now, if you're thinking with me, I know you're hurting probably if you're listening. If you're thinking with me, here, right here is the cut. Why I can't stay on FM very long. I can't stay. I can't just believe who I am in Jesus Christ. I know it. I've seen that in Scripture. And you can teach it all you want, and I can learn it. I can learn all I am in Christ. I am forgiven. I am forgiven in Christ. But I don't believe it because I'm too bad. I'm too dirty. I'm a loser. I'm not worthy. So I don't believe it. Right here's the breakdown in the whole thought process. Okay, I hear that. And I'd like to believe that. But as I go through my process of thinking here, as I go through my reflecting on my life and what's happened to me in my life and my failures in my life and what people think of me, and I know what they think of me, and I start calculating all of this, I cannot believe that I am forgiven. I cannot believe that I am beloved, that I am loved by God. And this love means to the point where it has an impact in your life. I just can't believe that. I'm too wretched. Remember Paul in Romans 7? I'm too wretched. So I just can't believe what you're saying, who I am in Christ. And so we make a decision that what causes this stress, this anxiety, this depression, upsetness with my whole life or with what's going on in my life. So right here is the pivotal point of why it's difficult for a lot of people to come out of stress, anxiety, and depression. My whole thought process will not allow it. It doesn't matter what I know. I can know tons of Bible doctrine. It doesn't even matter what I learn. And I can know it. And I know, okay, that's what God says. The people right here, when it comes to putting that into faith, well, I believe it. I believe who I am in Christ, not who I am in the flesh. This goes back, just so I can make my point quickly, goes back to the lady, and we do this mostly with ladies, with anorexia. I know I only weigh 94 pounds, and I can look at a picture, I can see myself, but right here in this whole thought process about myself, no, I'm overweight. I'm overweight. Right here, I calculate all of this. This word right here, to think. Putting together this whole thing and calculating it and reflecting on it becomes a great issue. Can I believe? The word speculation, the dismos, the way of the system of thinking, to reckon, to calculate. Remember what we saw last week? Quote, considerations and reflections preceding and determining conduct. It's out of a lexicon. Considerations and reflections preceding and determining conduct. See, reflection, what I'm trying to show you here is it's not something you know, it's not something you learn. You take all that you've got in your mind and all that you've experienced and you reflect on it. You're going to draw some conclusions about it. And the conclusions are, I'm no good. I'm unworthy. Otherwise, God wouldn't be doing this to me. As if you've listened to my teaching, I have great respect in the human realm for Aristotle. In fact, I tell people, if you don't want to live the Christian way of life by the Spirit-filled life, and you want some other way, go to Aristotle. This is why he is such a genius all through history and still is today. I want to share with you what Aristotle says of our word. Because I think it'll show you again. We're dealing with it spiritually. But I think it'll just show you that we're not pulling something out. That when Paul, through the leading of the Spirit, chose this word, why did he choose this word of speculation? Here's what Aristotle had to say. Logismos, our word. Logismos is. And people, this is what he had to say. Logismos is the supreme. It is the supreme activity. In your mind, activity which constitutes man as he is. Think about that. Because all you know, all you do, but what constitutes what I really am? What he says is this word logismos, my thinking process. This is supreme. It's supreme. As supreme, it controls all others. Now, what he means by all others? All other thoughts, emotions, decisions, everything else. Everything else. If you have stress, anxiety, and depression, it comes from logismos, your thought process. If you do not, and you walk in who you are in Christ, it goes right back to this. I calculate, I conclude I am who I am in Christ, and I trust Him. I trust Him. And therefore goes the stress, anxiety, and depression. Now stay with me. I'm going to show you something so powerful. Aristotle said, logismos is the supreme activity which constitutes man as he is. Now I've written it up for you. Proverbs 24. We have talked about it. We've not studied it. But look at what Proverbs 24 says. Remember what Aristotle said. Look what God says. As he thinks within himself, so he is. Isn't that amazing? He saw this. He didn't get it from the Bible. He was dealing with philosophical understanding of words and the activity of man. And it's the same thing God says. If you want to think in the flesh, so you are. If you want to think in the spirit, so you are. This is the supreme. Is your thought process as a man thinks. Not as I have created man, not as I have predetermined man, not according to the circumstances. You've had a rotten life and dealt a dirty hand, however you want to word it. On and on and on. I was born of a race that nobody likes. I was born of the black race. I was born poor. I was born ugly. I was born this. I was born that. And this has happened, and my parents treated me this way. Isn't it what it says, is it? It is the same. And Aristotle said the same thing. As you think, that's the supreme activity which constitutes what you are. Not your race, not your sex, not your economic circumstances, not how many times you've divorced and been hurt and abused and neglected. Doesn't say any of that determines what you are. The truth is, you are what you are according to your thought process. This is what we are according to that. So, let's look again, just for the fun of it, not studying Aristotle, but look at the second statement. As the supreme, as thinking, logismos is the supreme, it, the thinking, controls all you are. See that word control? There it is again. There's that word control again. People, please understand if you experience stress, anxiety, and depression, this is exactly what Satan desires you to be. He works not inside of you, but through his system and network to build this fortress inside of you. He desires you to do this. He desires to control your thinking through the strongholds in your soul by the way that you think, so that you will think this way about yourself, and you will never be who you are in Christ. And what a tragedy that God has done so graciously for us. And we never take advantage of who we are in Christ. So I want you to think about it. I want you to think about this idea of supreme. It's the supreme. the supreme. This is the supreme. And let me tell you what that means. That means that your way of thinking is supreme, superior, if you want to use another word, over really who you are in Christ. How about that? This is supreme to who I am in Christ. God can say who I am in Christ. I can be taught who I am in Christ. But this is supreme, what I really think about myself. And that's why God says, so you are. And not who you are in truth, because who you are in truth is who you are in Christ. But the way you are, just the way Aristotle worded it, as he is, God says, so he is. That's what you're going to be. And I'm sorry you're experiencing stress and depression tonight. God, I'm sorry that you are. But you chose to. You choose to be. And I'm not being cruel. I'm trying to help you. That's a good point. Because that means that we can do something about it. It's not involuntary that you hurt. And that you've had all of these things in your life. But it's not the things that have happened in your life that are causing you to be stressed and depressed, people. It is not those things. What constitutes you and what you are is your thoughts, not what's happening in your life. And not what is happening in your life. But think about that word supreme. What do I have as supreme in my life? What is superior to even what God says? What is superior to me over what God says about me? What is supreme over what I even know God says about me? And whatever that is, people, that's what controls you. And that's what determines your state at any given moment. And my circumstances is supreme to what God says I am in Christ. That, I can't see that. I can't see that I am righteous in Christ. I can't see that I am beloved in Christ. I can't see that I am forgiven in Christ. I can't see all those things. What I can see is what my friends think about me, my parents think about me, my husband, my wife, people in the church, like Job's three friends. That I can see, and that is supreme. And therefore, I'm miserable. I am miserable. I am sad. I cry in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. I find myself crying. Because what is supreme is what's going on around me. And what I want to help us do is tear that down. Take down what is supreme. Let's destroy that fortress. And let's replace it with something else. Let's make something else supreme. Let's make who we are in Christ supreme. I don't care what your neighbors and your friends and people at the church and your spouses and your family and your parents think about you. And I don't care about your performance. I'm here to tell you who you are in Christ. And you're basing some things on planet Earth, a short time in the flesh, as the totality of who and what you are by standards of America. And you made that supreme instead of taking the truth of what God says about you. Preachers tell you this, you're no good and you're a loser. I know preachers that call people losers from the pulpit and in private. And so you begin to think that way. That's supreme. People, let's tear down that in your soul. That's what we're doing. That's what we're learning how to do. And let's tear it down and replace it. Let's make something else supreme. Let's make supreme what God says about me. You know, I don't care what you think about me. In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I am beloved. In Christ, I am worthy to be loved. And that's what I care about. And let's move away from those people who keep telling you you're no good, who crush your soul as Job's three friends did. Let's become who we are in Christ. Now, I want to look at Proverbs for a moment, 23:7. If you'd like to turn there, you may, but I have it right here. I want to talk about it. We have mentioned it before. We've mentioned it before, but we've never studied it. It's time, with the word logismos, to actually study this word. It's time now to take a look at this word. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Now, I'm hoping now, boy, now that makes more sense than it did even several months ago when we looked at it. Because now I understand what speculations are. It's a thought process. And here we have this. As he thinks. Now, what I'm going to do, let's go over here and take a look at some things. Okay? Our Greek word is logismos. And that's L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S, logismos. Yeah, let's look at the Hebrew in Proverbs 23:7. As he thinks, we have the Hebrew word sha'ar. Hebrew word transliterated, S-H-A-A-R. Sha'ar. Let's take a look at this. See what all of this. What do you think? I set you up. What do you think sha'ar means? Yep, you're right. It means to calculate. It means the process of considering. I'm reading out of lexicon. Reflecting. The same word we have for logismos. Reflecting. Placing values on. Isn't that amazing? We got a Greek word of a fortress inside of our soul that we have to destroy that's making us, that is making us sad, and that's why it seems involuntary. It's not. It is not involuntary, but it seems to be involuntary. Stress, anxiety, and depression seem to be. God, you think I'd be so stupid as to make myself stressed out like this and depressed? Yes. It's a way of regaining control. And it comes from the choice that you've made and the way that you think. Now we go way back into the Hebrew, and we find sha'ar, and sha'ar dealing with, as a man thinks he is, and the word to think here is the process of considering, reflecting, placing values on things. It's not learning or knowing. It's the process of thinking. Then it says within himself. The Hebrew is the normal word nephesh, which we generally translate soul. And it's the same sometime when we just get into a habit of taking a Greek or Hebrew word and giving it one meaning all the time, and people begin to think, oh, I know what that word means. And it's unfair because in a Greek, in Hebrew and Greek, you've got about, I can't remember exactly, but in a book about like this, that thick, real small print, I'll never forget years ago, I took the Greek, the Hebrew lexicon to Jim Passmore, my eye doctor went to, and I said, I'm having trouble seeing this and reading this. And Jim looked at it and he said, well, nobody should be able to read that. It was all Hebrew and all of the little things in it and all. And very small, small print. So you've got a lot of more things than just the soul. Let me tell you what we got here. And when it deals, when the lexicon deals with this passage, the area of mental activity. Whoa. Does that surprise you? The area of mental activity. People, that's right out of the lexicon. Dictionary. That's what this word means. That's what logismos means. The thinking. The activity of thinking. As he thinks, considers, reflects, places values, makes decisions within himself, da-da-da-da, so he is. So you are. No, Nietzsche, you're wrong. We're not what we eat. We're not a product of our environment. That sounds good in sociology. Sounds logical. We can blame that we were born in a third world country. We can blame that we were born in America on the wrong side of the tracks. We can blame our culture, our society. Doesn't that make it nice? Have somebody we can blame for all of this. Lucian Linus. You know who Lucian Linus are? You should. They're very important people. The creation of Charles Silks and Peanuts. And Lucy is talking about how the previous generation has made the world a whole mess. And it's just terrible. And, or the world's a mess. That was it, the world's a mess. And so Linus says, you know, well, why is all of that? And she said, we blame the past generation. And she says, and Linus says, well, does that solve anything? And she says, no, but it makes you feel good to have someone to blame. So we're going to blame somebody for the way we are and for my stress and my depression. I'm going to blame my husband. I'm going to blame my wife. And people, I'm not defending them. Maybe they are living a totally sinful life. All I'm saying is I'm talking to you. You don't need to be stressed and depressed and have anxiety because of what they do. You can be free of it. I'm not saying anything about whether they're right or wrong. I'm not defending them. I'm saying, let's say that they are absolutely wrong and horrible. You're not damned to stress, anxiety, and depression. You don't have to be. You can, through what we're studying here, not experience stress, anxiety, and depression. So as he thinks, considers, reflects, places values within himself, so he is. And that's what we have in the Greek, in Aristotle, and now we see it in the truth in the text. Things happen in your life. A lot of people, and I'm naive. I'm not being melodramatic. I just didn't realize how parents were to children. And I'm not talking about sexual abuse. I'm just talking about you're no good, you're ugly, you can't perform. When are you going to start doing better? When are you going to do this? And I'm just amazed at the verbal, emotional abuse that multitudes of parents put children through. I really am amazed about it. I knew I was no good, but I tell you what, every night I went to bed, I knew my mother loved us. I'm not conscious of parents who would just so put their children in such a position of performance that their whole self-worth is their performance and the opinion of mommy and daddy, that they would do that. So perhaps this is your background. And it can even go worse than that, right down to abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. You're a loser. You're never going to achieve anything. And causing so many children to not be who they are, not even in the secular sense. Just quit trying, because they're never going to live up to that standard of performance. So why should I even try? I'm not even going to try, because I know I'll never achieve it. As I said, it can be worse, physical abuse, sexual, things like all of this. And then it can be later on in your life, in marriage. Just nothing's worked out. Your marriage right now, the way your husband treats you, the way your wife does, the way people do, what's happening in the world, what's happening economically. You just start piling it all up and you just sit down and cry and you say, I'm no good. I'm no good. Because you've got your whole mind in a train of thought now. So you go through and you see all these things and you have to stop and say, how do I think about all of this? People, how you think about all those things that I've just described and many more that I haven't described, because I've read and heard and seen that it's a lot worse than even these things I've talked about. What do you think about it? How do you calculate it? How do you process it? Then that's who you are. How you deal with all of that is what you are. It's your fault. You're a loser. You're unworthy. You're no good. You're wretched. All these kinds of things. You start processing it this way. And you wonder why you're stressed out and depressed? Well, that's not hard to figure out. Look at the way you thought about things. Look at the way you calculated things. Remember, people, something very important that we've noted, let's note it again. It's not the things that happen to you in your life. It's how you calculate them. It's how you think about them. That's going to be who and what you are. You are not who and what you are by what's happened in your life, including sexual abuse of little boys and little girls. I get so distraught when I hear preachers and on the radio and different things. They'll never be the same, and it's ruined them for life. People, that's not my God. My God's compassion and love is far greater than what happened to me when I was a little boy or a little girl. Your God is far greater than that. What's your thinking about God? I know you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about yourself and how all these horrible things have happened to you. That's what we want to do, is destroy that. We want to destroy that kind of thinking. Because people, that's not the truth. That is not the truth. This is not who you are. Let me tell you who you are, is who you are in Christ. But as long as you think this other way, I've got bad news for you. You will never become who you are in Christ. And you will always experience stress, anxiety, and depression. We want to tear that fortress down so that you can be who you are. What we're studying in our passage is false thinking. It is false reasoning. It is deceptive, fallacious. And most important, it is contrary to truth. False thinking, false arguments. And what is at the center of all this false logismos, this false thinking? Sha'ar. I'm going to tell you in one or two words. Satan lies. That my self-worth is based upon my performance plus others' opinion of me. This is what took Job down, was Satan's lie. This is what preachers preach, because it's in the law. People, that's the law. Satan's lie is the law. Your performance. If you do all the things in the Mosaic law, I'll take you under the Lamb, but if you don't go in. And all somebody had to walk up to God and say, hey, wait a minute. That land is not based on my performance. It's based on your performance as per the Abrahamic covenant. I'm trusting you to give me that land. And God would have to say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to be the only one over there. Because nobody else believes me. You're going to be living all by yourself with that milk and honey. And I hope you enjoy it. But that's the concept I'm trying to get you to see. It's false thinking. It's based on Satan's lie. So the whole process, you think through everything that's going on and has gone on in your life, and you start calculating it, you start reckoning it, you start processing it. According to Satan's lie, it's how you do it. It's not going to work. Now, I'll give you another little thing with this word. This word is used for wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom, people, is how you put together, how you calculate. Wisdom is, when you think about it, wisdom is how I think. It's not what I learn, not what I know. It's how I calculate all of that. What's wisdom here? Let me think through. Think. The process of calculating and thinking, and I come up with wisdom. But the wisdom that we're using that has to be torn down is a wisdom of Satan. James chapter 3:15. You don't need to turn there. Let me read it to you. This wisdom that we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in Proverbs, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. I'm going to tell you one more thing about this word before we leave it. It's very important. It's going to surprise some of you. Logismos. The act of thinking according to strict logical rules. Oh, no, my stress. I accept the fact that my stress, anxiety, and depression is from my thought process, but boy, let me tell you now, it was not from strict logical thinking. I was emotional. I was all of this. No, I'm sorry. I'll show you. Just stay with me. You were going by a strict logical rule. What rules were you going by? What rules do you think you're going by? Huh? The law? Satan's lie. That's what you're going by. That's what Job went by. That's your strict. And please, understand, now, next week we'll get to the word lofty things. This is what's strict. This is what you're going by. This is what is superior in thought to you. The rules of Satan's lie. The rule of thinking by law. The rule of performance. What's the rule of performance? You've got to perform. That's simple. What's the rule of opinion of others? They better think well of me. Those are strict rules. You don't fool with those rules. Please accept the fact you're doing some logical thinking according to Satan's lies. It's false. It's false thinking. It's false reckoning. But I want you to understand, you're getting there. Don't think it's all emotional thinking and let somebody tell you that. No. People, if you think that, you're never going to tear down this fortress. You're never going to allow the Spirit to tear it down. This is where we're on the honesty trip in our stress and our sadness and our hurt and our crying and thinking that everything's against us. Please understand, you are thinking according to a logical set of rules, and those rules come from Satan's lie and from the law. I've got to perform, or God isn't going to do good to me. I've got to perform, and this is why bad things happen to me. Even as a child, it was my fault. People, I try to tell you, this is where in the Catholic Church, going through all of its trouble, they'll see me. Boy, when I read this, I had to get up. Every now and then, I'm studying things, I just get up, got to walk around the house. Maybe clean out a drawer or something and just think through this thing. But I couldn't believe it. This is where they're having one of the greatest problems with confession. Here's a grown boy. Here's a grown girl. Molested when they were very small, and they've been confessing that. They haven't done a thing wrong. But they're confessing it like they have. Because that's their thinking. They've not done anything wrong. But in their mind, because I've made them confess, and I've demanded they confess, then they must be me. It's got to be me. Confession is not what they need. They need truth to set them free. It's not what they need. We've got to, if you'll accept the truth that I am thinking according to a strict logical rule of Satan's lie, of the law, and it's tearing me down. That's where Paul was when he said, and cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I've got to clear this. I've got to get rid of this. This is not working." So what we want to do, people, is we want to tear down, right here, this is what we want to tear down. We want to tear down this fortress that's doing this to us. The fortress of the way that you think must be destroyed. Look at 10:4. The experience of stress, anxiety, depression, hurt, sorrow, pain in your soul. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. This is going to be handled by the flesh, but divinely powerful, the Holy Spirit, for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing. People, these fortresses must be destroyed. This thinking, according to the standard, the strict logical rules, must be destroyed. And we're going to come under grace thinking. We're going to come under love thinking. We're going to come under a thinking that will set you free. This is what we're going to come up with. There's no strict rules. That's Satan's law. That's the law. The very wording of it causes some of us to tense. That's why we are where we are. It's got to be destroyed. These arguments, and let me tell you now, very important to take a note, these arguments, these false arguments are hostile to the truth of the gospel. These arguments are barriers to living by faith. Now let's go back. Well, we saw that right here. They're barriers to faith. Please think about this. And those of you, I've written this out on the board, but if you to know, to learn, to think, and then we come down to faith, the fourth thing in the process, to learn, to know, to learn, to think, then to faith. Right here we draw a line between thinking and the faith. Why? Because if you're thinking with this strict barrier, you're thinking by Satan's law or Satan's lie, and you're thinking about law, people, it's a barrier to just trusting me. God, how can I trust you that I am beloved when I know I'm a dirty rat? See, my thinking stops me from trusting Him. God, how can I trust You when You say that I am forgiven when I know that my sins are dirty? You can't. They're going to stop you. These fortresses in your soul not only determine who you are, that's bad enough. They're going to stop you from ever believing who you are in Christ. They have got to come down. And every one of you that are hurting tonight, listen to this tape. We're going to tear this down. They're stopping you. Other people have written and called me and said, I'd like to live in FM. I can't stay there. How do you do that? How do you continue to walk by faith? I know why you can't. Right here's why you can't. These fortresses in your soul are a barrier. They are a barrier to living who you are in Christ. They are a barrier to living by faith. Here's another reason as to why it is so difficult to stay in FM, faith mindset. The strongholds of false arguments actually keep you from consistently trusting God the Holy Spirit. And that's why it seems like it's involuntary. Well, I just can't keep walking in the Spirit. I can't keep on the faith mindset. I like that idea of AM, FM, all the academic mindset, faith mindset. I like all of that. But I can't stay there. And I know it seems like you can't. It just seems like something is holding you back. And it is. And it's inside you. It's a stronghold of speculation for the way you think. That's why we want to tear that down. If we can allow the Holy Spirit, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to tear down this fortress, guess what? You've opened the way to live by faith. And dear people, this isn't going to happen overnight. This is why a lot of people with stress, anxiety, and depression prefer drugs, alcohol. Why? Because the minute I take a drug, I feel better. It's not solving anything. It's not removing any barrier. And it's instant. This isn't instant. I'm sorry. But oh, God, it's so powerful. And when you walk through it and finally allow the Spirit to tear down this fortress, you are set free. Free of stress, anxiety, depression. You are set free of other people controlling you, your parents, your husband, your wife, your children, somebody at the church, a preacher, anybody. You are free of that. Not only free of drugs and alcohol, you're free of this kind of control. Because now you've opened the way through this whole thought process. I can go to the next step now. My thinking takes me to trusting God. Now my thinking takes me. It's not only not a barrier, it takes me there to trusting God. So the strongholds that are in our soul, people, that cause us not to be able to believe. They're a barrier to even trusting God. Oh, I'd love to trust God. God, I'd love to trust God. And like He says, to be who I am in Christ, I just can't. I know you can't. And I know why. You've got these strongholds in your soul. And they've been being built for a long time with a lot of stones. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit to slowly tear these fortresses down, you're going to find more and more it'll get a little more easier and a little easier just to trust Him. You know what I'm going to do for 5 minutes today? I'm going to trust God as who I am in Christ. I am loved. I am forgiven, totally forgiven before God. He loves me. I'm worthy of that love. You see how that feels? So it runs through your mind, your emotions, your whole being. And then you want a little bit more of that. And then you want a little bit more of that and will allow the Holy Spirit to tear down these fortresses so that we can stay in who we are in Christ. You desire that, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. And I know that. It seems to be involuntary, and I know that. But I hope you're seeing that it is not involuntary. It is inside of my soul. It is what's going on in me. And my thinking process is doing that because I'm thinking according to this big stronghold in my soul called speculation, the way I think. And I'm going to change that. I'm going to change that to thinking about who I am in Christ and trusting God to transform me into who I am in Christ. Now, very important point here. Only God's provision of the Holy Spirit is going to destroy these strongholds. If you're hurting tonight, God doesn't need to change your husband, your wife, your circumstances. He's not going to change your past. He doesn't have to. But if you will allow His Spirit by faith to destroy these strongholds of your thought process, these false arguments based on Satan's lying on the law, if you allow God to do this, you'll tear them down. You're using these false arguments against yourself. You're using these false arguments to keep you stressed and anxiety and depressed, keep you from being who you are in Christ. A challenge who you are in Christ. You're not really that. You're really no good. You're not really who you think you are in Christ and what the Bible says. You're really that no good person. See, I know who you really are. You're no good. You're rotten. And we've already determined that. We know the flesh nature. Well, what we want to do now is tear down these false fortresses in our soul. It's not what happens in your life, people. It's how you interpret them that will determine how you think. And we're not going to start considering these things as for who we are in Christ. Now, let me close with this. How's the Holy Spirit going to do this? Remember what we saw some time ago out of Webster, Daniel Webster's dictionary? We saw a tremendous statement, if you recall, that these fortresses are torn down by enlightening, revealing them, not by hiding them, but by illuminating them. We're going to illuminate, we being the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to illuminate in your mind Satan's lie. And you're going to look at it and you're going, you know, Satan's lie is a fill-in-the-blank lie. It really is a lie. It really is a lie. And I've been living by that. I've been living by that, and that lie is a lie. It's a big lie, and I've been living by it. And the more He sheds light, the more the truth of who you are in Christ sheds light on Satan's lie, it will have no power over you. It will not be able to keep you stressed out. You're going to be able to say pretty soon, no, that's not who I am. That's what Job finally got in chapter 42, taking 42 chapters. It may take you 42 chapters. It may be a journey. It will be a journey. But oh, people, if you go on it, if you let God take you on it, and just trust Him, what you're going to get is a magnificent place where they just don't have control over you anymore because you see. You don't have control over me. What you think of me, and I want people to think nicely of me, but if you don't, I'm sorry. Because you don't control me anymore with your opinion. My performance, when I walk in the Spirit and I live and I love as Christ loved, I love everyone as Christ loved me, I know how I'm going to perform. But if I fail, you know what? That's not who I am. Who I am is who I am in Christ. And I believe that. And I feel sorry for you. A lot of people wrongly use that phrase that we've been seeing, opinion of others, because there are people who will boast. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Usually what you find, those people that boast that way and talk that way, they care so much about what others think of them. And they're just fighting it so hard in the flesh to tear that down. You don't have to fake it. It'll be real. You know, I know who I am. I'm who I am in Christ. And I believe that. So I'm sorry about the way you think about me. I know it's the truth. So that's what Satan is going to do. He's going to turn a light on this speculation, this thought process, this stronghold that you have been in, this logismos that you've been in. And he's going to turn on the light. He's going to look at it and he's going to go, God, I've been living that way. It's caused me this pain all these years. It's just a big lie. Right. So I call it Satan's lie. It's been a big lie. I think I'm going to live in truth. And the truth is who I am in Christ. Oh, I'm going to fail. But you know what? When I fail, that's not me. That's my old man who was crucified with Christ. And I believe that. And so I'm just going to turn over here and be who I am in Christ. I'm sorry about that, but I'm going to be over here in Christ and move right on. no stress, no anxiety, and no depression. Is that possible? You bet it is, because that's what kind of God you got. And I just hope that people that do hurt, listen to this, will let themselves see why they are stressed and depressed. And depression is terrible. But if we see why it's happening and all that needs to be done to start tearing this fortress down inside our soul. Now next week we have the next word. It says, and every lofty thing. We've got to take a look at what that is, and we'll start that next Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. What a merciful God you are, Heavenly Father. You saw me as your enemy, desperately wicked. And you sent your Son and saved forever. And then, Heavenly Father, you saw me so depressed about my life, the past. Saw me so depressed about my thinking about it, and you sent the Spirit to set me free experientially. What kind of God are you, Father? What kind of God has this much love, this much compassion? I'm unimportant. I'm not even important by worldly standards. And you did this for me. You're truly a God that I can trust. Yours is truly a love that I can trust. And praise you, Heavenly Father, every day. I praise you for your creation. I praise you that you're in control of eternity again. And I tell you what, Father, I praise you for what you do inside of me, personally, experientially. Setting me free through the ministry of your Spirit of the stronghold of Satan's life. What an awesome God you are, Father. For me to live is Christ, and to die is but gain. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.